Come on down to Old Man Frank's used podcast dealership. I will make you a deal on an 06 or an 07 ELR. No reasonable offer will be turned down. We're located at the corner of Dern and It, so come on down, folks. Dern It.
Howdy, folks. This is Tennessee Taylor with my friend Ryan, the Tsunami Flood,
and the Grinster Man.
We just graduated from high school, and you're listening to Extra Live Radio!
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hi, this is Veronica Belmont from CNET's Buzz Out Loud podcast, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio for the Horde.
Everyone, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is Extra Life Radio ELR, if you would prefer to have a shorter version. 137. Today is May 15, 2007. Welcome back to the show. We're sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get your piece of the internet today. Get a domain for only $6.95. Use Life1 as your code, and you will save money. So get your piece of the internet today by using GoDaddy.com. Thanks again for the sponsorship, guys. And also thanks, as usual, to YouBuyNow.com. Great toys, great collectibles, a fun, good old time. And make sure you check out his other sites like Geek Armor and Comic Hole, which I have been buying from quite a lot lately. At YouBuyNow, if you use the code EXTRALIFE, you'll save 15%. I just about gave you a bigger discount. You'll save 10%. Today's the 15th. See, it messed me up. On your next order. So check them out and use them now because they're great and we just love those guys. YouBuyNow.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's just jump right in. Had a busy week since I last talked to these guys. So let's just do it. Obsidian, are you here?
I am here.
I'm introducing you in a different way tonight.
Oh, wow. Go me first.
You are first. You're standing kind of far from your microphone. That usually means you're busy drawing your comic for tomorrow and ignoring us, but that's okay.
I'm here.
All right. There you go.
Is this volume okay for you?
It's perfect. And Obsidian, of course, comes to us from commissionedcomic.com, the finest comic in all of Colombia. Maybe the only one, but it's still the finest, regardless.
if you had said the whole world, I would have been greatly touched.
You'd have been flattered. And also joining us from missiondeep.com, where there's supposed to be a comic any day now. Any day. It's going to happen.
Any day now.
Yes, that's me.
That's Brian Dunaway. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Good. It's good to see you.
It's good to be here.
Before we introduce our special guest, do you want to tell people about your upcoming project?
Oh!
Yeah, tell us.
Can I talk about it here on the podcast?
On the podcast. The floor is yours, sir. Tell us what you want to tell us.
As Extra Life Radio fans know, we occasionally have Joustin Justin on the podcast. He does Myth Tickle, and me and him and Tom Racine are doing a new side project called Comics Coast to Coast. It's going to be a podcast that's going to involve webcomics and syndicated cartoonists.
Yeah.
We're going to do some interviews, and we're going to talk weekly about techniques and just different little things. Maybe do some fun things, talking about doing a comic strip theater.
Yeah.
Maybe some reenactments of some comic strips you've seen out there.
Very cool.
Just a little side project we thought up.
Well, that's awesome.
Get into.
As you know, I'm happy to pimp it right here on ELR, and I plan on listening.
Absolutely.
And in fact, there's a rumor floating around that you guys might interview me and Obsidian at some point.
Absolutely. You're going to be one of the first few people, and we have a very, very special guest we're interviewing tomorrow.
Who's that?
I can't say.
Oh, that's how special they are, dude. You can't even tell us who
it is. It is very special, right. And let's just say if you check out comicscoasttocoast.com.
Yeah.
On Thursday, the podcast should be up. I'm also going to post one that we've already put in the can.
Cool.
And I'm going to try to do that tonight. So if you check in the morning time, it should be there.
Okay. Boop. Time's
up. Listen to Extra Life Radio first.
Yeah, listen to ELR first.
I feel the obligation to ask, Brian.
Oh, yes, please do.
When did you learn to say Thursday?
That's what I was telling him earlier, dude. I caught him saying it right, too.
When did you learn that?
I don't know what's going on.
Taught you?
All right. It's all that's an act. I'm not really from the South.
No.
I'm not really from the South. I'm actually from the North.
He's a Yank. He's a young Yankee boy. I'm just like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, it's all lies.
Larry Flint is what I was thinking. Let's jump right to our special guest. We cannot wait any longer. I have to give you a quick background before I introduce Derek. And here's the background. Way, 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 way back in the early podcasting days, I'm talking late 2004, there were a handful of podcasts, many of which were quite good and some of which kind of sucked. One of the really good ones at the time was called Skepticality. And I thought it was one of the better podcasts I'd heard and one of the first ones I'd ever heard. And was, in fact, one of the things that made me say, you know what, you need to get Extra Life Radio off the ground again, because it used to be an old MP3 show and we had to start over. I was really excited about it. In part, that was due to Skepticality. What was interesting is I remember Steve Jobs getting up on stage when they announced iTunes 6, which had support for podcasting, which was a huge deal. Whether you like Apple or not, that was a big, big moment in podcasting and the ability to sort of reach a broader audience. And one of the pieces of album art right up there on the stage was a picture of Derek in his cool sunglasses and Swoopy in her cool sunglasses showing the Skepticality podcast right up there on the wall. So it was pretty cool. So without further ado and without me talking too much, let me welcome to the show Derek.
Too late.
Derek Colin Duno. I still can't get your name right. But Derek, welcome to the show, sir. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You actually got it almost right.
Almost right. Yeah, almost right is never quite as good as exactly right, but I do what I can. I'm terrible
at it. O was better at it.
Yeah. O does a good job. In fact, O, say it the way you said it, in your very sort of Mexican way that you do it.
You know, Mexican, well, you know, I certainly don't feel very much like saying Colanduno.
Oh, Colanduno.
There you go.
Ooh.
Anyway.
He says it the right way.
You say it's Italian, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. I not only say it the right way, I say it the sexy way.
Oh, yes.
Which is always
the only right way.
Yeah, that's the only right way. Well, anyway, it's good to have Derek here. A couple of quick interesting things about Derek before we move on to what Skepticality is all about. And some of the topics I wanted to hit today, which I think Derek will be well suited to talk about. First of all, he's a huge part of what makes Dragon Con happen every year. So any Dragon Con fans out there, Brian, you went last year, correct?
Yes, I did.
Yes, of course you did.
It was awesome.
You got all those great bumpers for me. That was freaking awesome.
Did you ever come and meet me?
I did not. I didn't know where you were.
You didn't even. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that because They have printers for DragonCon, and they all went down the day of the con.
Oh.
And we were in the Hilton, which is the first year they ever did anything in the Hilton. So most people didn't even know we had things there. It was just
our podcast.
Yeah, it was only our podcasting room, and across the hall from us was the live-action vampire game. And then the other only thing at the Hilton that year was all the stuff you can buy, which is downstairs from our podcasting room, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that until the last day when we were packing up. I was like, I could have like walked right downstairs and bought something.
Hold on. You had me at live action vampire game. Can you tell us what that was exactly? Was that like a cosplay kind of weirdo deal or what? What happened in there?
Okay. I have to, in full disclosure.
Yeah.
I have to say something.
Do it.
Because if I don't, and like Swoopy finds out that I didn't mention this, she'll go, "You liar."
Yeah.
Okay. How me and Swoopy met, who's my co-host for anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah.
We met through my old live action vampire game in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
So that's how we met. That's the reason why we met. So live action vampire was the reason why me and Swoopy know each other.
Do you still do that stuff? Do you still do the vampire live action?
I haven't done that since 1996.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
That was the year I moved here.
Okay. All right. Well,
actually, 97, but
we could probably.
There's so much to see.
Yeah, we should do a whole show on vampire live action because the whole idea just intrigues me. I have no idea what happens there, but.
You know what's funny is me and my friends who did that live action game back then,
there was no book
for that.
Yeah.
They actually mentioned some ideas in the back of the first vampire hardback book for the first edition of Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
There's one suggestion was you could do this live action like a play. And like one of my friends who was a radio DJ at the time, he got together with some of his friends, and he said, "Let's do this." There was no rules. Yeah. Back then.
Yeah. There was no way. So, yeah. So people are showing up with like mayonnaise jars full of cow blood and stuff like that, or what?
No, it was just. Well, actually, we just people just went
for
with. You
gotta love his delicacy.
Yeah. And then what's funny is it was like only like 2 weeks after that they tried to cobble together some rules for it. Then the White Wolf actually came out with a box set of live action stuff for Vampire.
Okay, but this is all this stuff is based on the tabletop game, though, right? The Masquerade
yes.
deal. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Obsidian, you're into the tabletop crap. Did you play that at all?
I have played Vampire.
I love how you respect so much stuff.
No, I do.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Scott. I respect stuff.
Yeah, I
do. I have played Vampire, but when it comes to the world of White Wolf, I'm much more into Wraith.
Oh, look at you okay. guys. You guys but and your you prob- insider I mean, crap.
You probably don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm just going to talk here with Derek and stuff.
Yeah, you and Derek. Well, you can Derek could go on for hours about this.
Yeah,
your little nerd play thing you do.
Yeah, but oh, they got rid of Wraith.
Yeah, that was so sad. On the bright side, I can safely say I have all the Wraith books.
Can you tell me what Wraith is? Is it like an expansion kind of thing? Is it a?
Have you seen that new TV show Ghost Whisperer?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very much like that.
Really?
That would be the best way to describe it for people that don't know about the game at all.
Do you think that show was inspired by it by chance? You think there was some inspiration?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know because there's a lot of things that seem to be like inspired by Vampire the Masquerade, like. Was it Underworld? Is almost exactly.
Yeah.
And also, what's the other game? Not game. That movie, Blade.
Oh, Blade. Yeah.
Like even,
yeah.
But that was a.
But Blade is very old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But they all see Vampire was actually created from most of the.
Anne Rice like, novels, right?
Yeah, but they were. It was created from everything, like all the pop culture stuff about vampires.
Oh, it's kind of an amalgam of all those ideas. Kind
yeah,
of
and then they, and then like in D&D, you have classes.
Yeah.
In Vampire, you have clans of vampires, and each clan is kind of represents one of the mythos of vampires.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I've learned something today, which is what I try to do each and every week right here on the Extra Life Radio.
And Scott, in a nutshell, when you play Vampire, okay, I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but when you play Vampire, you're basically making believe you're a vampire. When you play Wraith, you're basically making believe you're a ghost. That's it.
Yeah.
So was Wraith a whole different thing then? It was not...
When you're playing White Wolf, it all takes place in the same... how would you call that, Derek?
They call the universe the World of Darkness.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then, here's another strange thing. Where I live, like where I live right now, where I'm sitting in this here,
yes,
talking to you, when I first moved here, White Wolf headquarters was still here in the town I live in right now. And they moved, actually, to the other side of town, so they're over about 20 minutes away. But the people that actually created the game actually used to live in the town I'm living in now.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which is bizarre.
I've always wanted to illustrate a White Wolf book.
Oh, you should. Yeah. Why don't you, just for fun?
I normally expect to get paid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. You got to put bamboo on the table.
It's not like I got, I got nothing to do this month. I might as well just illustrate this book, which is already illustrated and no longer in print.
You got to put bamboo and coconut hair on your table every night for the little ones. I understand. I know what's going on. Yes, go ahead, Derek.
It's funny, that you say that because when we ran the game, because back then it was like the beginning of the live action stuff for White Wolf. They had like the base rules and that was it. Me and my friends that ran the game, we created expansions for the game because we wanted more stuff in the game.
Yeah.
And we actually changed the rules because we had to change the rules because we didn't like the real ones at the time. They've gotten much better now. But at the time we made our own and then we had to type up the rules. People didn't know them.
Yeah.
So we actually wrote books and actually I still have most of my books in my closet, but we actually hired artists and things because I knew a bunch of artists from Image Comics,
yeah,
and people like that we used to illustrate for Magic the Gathering and things like that. So actually, I have a couple of books that we wrote for the game, and they look like White Wolf books because my friends mimicked the style of the
Werewolf books. Oh, so you guys not only wrote your own rules, but you had some of these artists doing artwork and stuff in there as well. Oh, that's cool.
Because we wanted to make the rules read like the game that people already played.
Sure, sure.
So now, it's funny when I...
The artist in this story gets paid. Derek did not get paid. He got to play, but you see, the artist in the story, the guy that would B.O., he got paid.
B.O. You said B.O.
I love that. That's great. You said B.O.
So there's one thing about Derek, a lot of people, people that have followed him know this, but some people may not. And I find this really not only interesting, but really inspiring. And we're just going to talk about it for a second. And it's not like this is all that serious, but I mean, it's certainly serious, but you know, the show's not known for its serious tone. But Derek went through just after Dragon Con, if I'm thinking of the date right.
Yeah, Dragon Con 2005.
Yeah, just after Dragon Con, experienced a massive stroke. Would you call it that? Yeah. Is that a fair assessment of
what it was actually listed. Yeah, it was pretty much listed as a massive stroke.
Wow. So it happened at dinner one night, and you were telling us before the show, the 3 weeks between when you went down and when they woke you up was just lost to you. You woke up as if you were just eating dinner, and suddenly you're popping out of bed, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. We got done with Dragon Con 2005, and then I had to go to Charlotte in North Carolina.
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah,
yeah, for business. And then I hung out with some other podcasters who lived there, and then I came home. Actually, I came home early, and I got home, and nobody was here at the house, so I didn't know where people were. And so I called my wife, and she said, "Oh, we're at the Ale House." Which is right down the street. So I could jump back in my car, went over to have dinner with everybody else. And I was having dinner, and I started to get a headache. It felt really weird. It felt like a migraine, but I heard this whooshing sound in my ears.
Yeah.
And then, and then I started to get sick. Like, I don't know, like something I was eating was not right.
Yeah.
And then I got up. I started to throw up a little bit, and next thing I know, I am kind of waking up in a dream. And actually, I didn't realize that at the time, but yeah. I eventually realized that it was 3 weeks later.
In the hospital. Wow, it's just insane. Now, I mean, the road to recovery has been, I can imagine, long and hard. You seem to me, from conversations and through email chatting and stuff like that, and from the Skepticality podcast itself, you seem to have made a pretty amazing recovery, given the magnitude of the stroke itself. How do you feel how you're doing right now? Do you think things are pretty much in the clear it's onward and upward and everything's great from here on forward?
Health-wise, I'm pretty good. I still have to go to the doctor every 2 or 3 months. In the next week or two, I have to go back for another MRI so the doctor can check the vessels in my brain. The road to recovery to this point was pretty hard. I had my stroke on September 8th.
Yeah.
That was 2005.
Yeah.
And I was in a coma until the 21st of September.
Yep.
So that was actually that's about 30 days or so.
Yep.
And then I was in ICU until about October.
Yeah.
Like mid-October. Yeah. And then I was in rehab in the hospital until November 9th, 10th. And then I came home and then I went to Shepherd Pathways, which actually where I spent my rehab so I could learn to talk because I couldn't really talk.
Yeah. I remember some of the early first return podcasts where you and Swoopy would have a conversation and it was obvious that that was something you were having to kind of, it almost felt like it's like a little kid has to learn it again.
Oh, I did. I had to.
Is that what it felt like? Was it kind of that same experience?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't know how to talk. I mean, I knew the words in my head. I wanted to say them.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah. I had to train my brain and my tongue to make those words. And most of my rehab at Shepherd and other places, not other places, but my doctors at Shepherd, they're the ones that taught me how to use my tongue and my sounds again, like trying to teach a dog, basically.
Yeah.
How do you make this sound, this L sound, or this, you know, it's like trying to talk from the beginning.
It's like starting over. Wow.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, but well, my doctors...
Go ahead, O. What were you going
to
say?
The part that's difficult for me to imagine is actually knowing the word, just not knowing how to say it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It kind of doesn't fit into your head, does it? I mean, like,
no.
Okay, I got the word in my head, and I just, I mean,
but yeah, imagine
it had to be really frustrating.
Yeah, imagine how mad that would make you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Multiply it by about 10.
Yeah.
I was really mad.
I imagine.
Well, you
yeah.
should tell that to Scott. Scott's a temperamental one here.
Yeah, that's definitely me.
Yeah, he's the one with the temper.
Well, that's pretty amazing, Derek. I mean, the fact that you've come so far is also very cool. And you've got, I mean, motor function and all that stuff's all good. You're doing okay that way?
That was actually what I got first.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in my head when I knew I had a stroke and I knew I was screwed up. I couldn't really walk or talk or anything. I was like, you know, I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I don't want to be able to only moan or grunt or have to write on a chalkboard to tell people what I want to say.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be one of those people because we've all seen those in movies and TV.
Sure.
I did not want to be that. So I was pretty much a bastard. I was like, every time the nurse that would get me out of my bed because they strapped me down because I would fall because I would try to walk because I was, you know, stubborn, and they would have to strap me down so I didn't try to walk on my own.
Sure.
And every time that girl, like, lady would come in, I knew she was the one that would, like, let me, like, use her to, like, walk.
Yeah.
She would come in, like, I go, you're not, I would just try to get up because they would not let me get up. So I knew if I got up, they'd have to come over and help me.
Yeah.
So and I just made it. So I came, I just wanted to walk. That's all I wanted to do at first. I didn't care about talking at first.
See, this is amazing. And then, for people out there who think for a minute that geeks and nerds like us, and, you know, Derek's a nerd, man. He's into the whole, remember, the whole vampire thing. Let's not forget the vampire stuff.
Oh, it goes deeper than that.
We haven't offended them enough today.
No, I mean, obviously it does go deeper than that. But to say that we're just all a bunch of soft, white, you know, losers, he's got, I mean, this is a pretty amazing fight back to vitality. And I was just really impressed to kind of follow it along as skepticality went along. And it was actually great to have that as a window in on your recovery. Did you feel like you were getting a lot of, you know, obviously you got a lot of initial response and a whole lot of people paying attention to what was going on, but did you find it interesting that they were all kind of watching you recover and watching this process?
I'll be honest. I didn't realize it until about that January, like 2007.
Yeah. It just didn't. It just wasn't clicking or something, huh? Okay, hey everybody, we're back. Sorry about that. We lost O to the fine internet connectivity and infrastructure.
Because the internet famous in Utah is very sick.
Dude, I'm doing all right here. It's not too bad. By the way, a couple weeks ago, when I had such a terrible time with my internet, turns out all I needed to do was reset the router, and everything was fine. I don't know what that was about, but anyway,
that's usually what it is.
Yeah, almost always. Well, let's jump ahead, folks. That's really cool stuff. I love that. I just love your story, and more power to you, dude, for making such a great comeback. I'm sure your wife is super happy about that. I know Swoopy is. So,
oh yeah,
that's pretty cool. By the way, we should tell people when Skepticality is on and where it is. You want to give people the contact info and where to find it?
Yeah, www.skepticality.com. And then we do our show every 2 weeks now. We used to be whenever we wanted to, and now we actually are part of the official magazine for Skeptic Magazine. So,
oh, cool.
We're now actually paid to do this. So,
oh, so you have to have a schedule. I understand.
Hey, yeah, Scott. Scott. Why don't we get paid?
Well, that's a good question. We're working on it. Maybe we should be official part of the. What's a good magazine for us? Hustler? I don't know. What would it be? Brian, do you have any ideas?
Hustler. Brian, that's a good one. I like Hustler.
I know what Hustler does. I have a blow-up doll of Larry Flint looking at me from across the room right now.
I think we should be sponsored by Omni.
Omni? Who's that? Oh, Omni Magazine.
Defunct magazine from the 80s.
They did really well. They really held up strong. Well, let's move on to what skepticality is all about, not necessarily describing the show, but let's talk about what it means to be a skeptic in today's world. For fun today, I walked around the office and did a little bit of, asking questions. That's pretty good. I asked people what they thought of Bigfoot, and we're going to play that here real quick, and then on the other side, we're going to talk about what a skeptic's view should be of such things. Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, that kind of crap. And let's play that now, and we'll talk about it again. Hang on. Okay, I'm here with Dennis Muhlstein. Dennis, do you believe in Bigfoot?
Absolutely.
Really? What do you base your opinion on? Well, what proof?
Well, you see, there is scriptural doctrine which teaches the existence of Bigfoot. You see, back when... don't laugh at me.
Keep going. No, I'm enjoying this. Go ahead.
Back when... See, long, long ago, when Cain killed Abel, God put a curse on Cain that he would live forever and
be a hairy guy in the woods.
And be a hairy guy in the woods. And you see, he has forever since then been cursed to roam, and he doesn't die. He's really quite evil, actually. And what happens is because of the curse that's on him, men are not able to discover him. So we can't act. So sometimes we find tracks, and sometimes we find, like, you know, pictures, and people sometimes say they saw him, but nobody will ever actually make a scientific discovery that he exists, and it's because of this curse.
Do you ever wonder why he chose the Pacific Northwest to wander in the woods?
Well, actually, he's been reported all over the world. Some people in other parts think that the Yeti, you know, the abominable snowman guy, he has also been reported to roam other parts of the world. It's not just the Northwest.
All right.
And one day, I imagine, you know, when the world comes to an end, all this will be revealed, and we'll be able to see him for what he is.
A big hairy ape that lives in the woods.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for your opinion.
No problem.
All right. Very nice. That's perfect.
Of that for a bunch of crap.
No, here it goes. I'm here with Brendan. Brendan, do you believe Bigfoot exists, and why?
I would have to say yes.
Really? What gives you proof?
Well, this was years and years ago, and it was on this trip to California.
Okay.
And we were driving along the road, and they had the Beware of Sasquatch signs out on the road, and I'm just, no way.
Nice.
And I'm just, this cannot be some big farce some big lie. You know, where people are making this thing up, and the government is just, oh man, there's a Bigfoot, you know, and so they put these green signs out. There's no way. Anyway, so I round this corner, and there's a gigantic turd that could only be dropped by Bigfoot.
So your whole proof that the existence of Bigfoot is you ran into a giant turd on the side of the road.
Scientific and literal.
So, did you take any piece of the turd for memory or whatever?
There's just chunks of chunks of bone and pig. No, we didn't. It was just a gigantic turd.
There are farm animals in there, a little cat head. That's good to know. So as far as you're concerned, he roams the Pacific Northwest even today.
Well, you know, and he probably has expanded his territory because... You know, I don't know where it came from. I may have mentioned this already, but we were watching Star Wars, A New Hope, the other night when Luke gets taken, and my four-year-old is just, Dad, what do Yetis eat? And I'm just, Luke? And he's just, no, what else does he eat? And he said, because that's a Yeti, right? And I just, sure. But, you know, it was...
Looks like a Yeti, poops like a Yeti.
Yeah. He eats rabbits and some tauntauns
and... And Luke.
And Luke.
And Mark Hamill, after his accident from Corvette Summer.
Maybe they really did have a fight, and that's why Luke looks so different. He got whooped by the Yeti.
Do you believe that eating Luke is a lot like eating the Joker from the animated Batman series?
I don't know. I think that it's kind of like... you know, sushi or something. It kind of looks good, and then you take a bite and...
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
You know, Luke, kind of like that. But as far as Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, Abominable Snowman, yep.
Because they poop in the woods.
And there's signs out in California. That is proof enough for me.
All right, well, thank you very much for your opinion.
You're welcome.
All right, good job.
You've done it 12 times.
That's true, I've done it a few times with you. Okay, I'm here with Loretta to get a female perspective on this question. Loretta, do you believe that Bigfoot exists, and why, or why not?
No, I do not believe that Bigfoot exists because I don't think that there are any creatures on this earth that are part human and part animal.
So you don't think a big hairy man walks the Pacific Northwest in search of food and other sustaining
things.
I think there are probably a lot of big hairy men in the Pacific Northwest, but I don't think any of them are Bigfoot.
Okay, so do you think it's all a big farce made up, these big shoe prints, it's all a bunch of garbage?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, you heard it here first. Thank you so much for your opinion.
Thank you for asking.
Okay, thanks for that, everybody. I appreciate that. We had three fine people willing to talk to me about Bigfoot, all with very different takes and very different reasons for why they thought or did not think Bigfoot existed. You liked the turd one best, didn't you, Brian?
That was my favorite.
Yeah, Brian likes a good turd joke.
That made sense, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good stuff. By the way, there's a ton of people in the chat room. I forgot to mention them. Thanks for all them being here, and they will hear that later in the final show. Definitely something you want to tune in for. So, Derek, let me ask you. Do you believe in Bigfoot? What a good question to ask a skeptic right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm skeptical of Bigfoot.
Yes.
Not expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
There's no proof.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
Although there's many people who say they'll get it at some point. The thing about skeptics, most people don't realize it, but we just don't immediately say, "Well, that's just crap," and just dismiss it. We'll believe anything if you show it to us.
So in other words, you don't jump right out and say, "No, that's absolutely not true," or "Yes, that's absolutely true." It goes both ways.
Yes,
something being true or untrue is all based on factual information, careful consideration of evidence, that sort of thing, right?
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
Scientific method, basically.
Yeah. So nobody's ever found this big hairy monster that's supposedly roaming the woods everywhere. And until you see, well, I mean, what would a skeptic have to see in order to finally say, "Oh, well, I guess Bigfoot was real"?
Enough evidence, either bones or a living one that you can study, or see one in the wild that actually matches the other evidence that actually might exist.
Well, while I don't have Brian's bones, I have the rest of the proof. he's alive. We can study him. He's in the woods and he's That's hairy. Right. So I think we know where our man is.
Well, I have to shave about six times a day.
No, that's very interesting. Sorry, keep going. I interrupted you. Keep going.
But, I mean, that's the thing. It's not, you know, it's not that we don't believe there's no Bigfoot. We just haven't seen any proof of it. So we can actually say nobody's ever proven there's Bigfoot, but yeah. Show me some and I'll believe it.
Now, what if somebody comes to you? Let me ask these guys. Oh, what do you think? What's your take on stuff like Bigfoot or Loch Ness? What do you think about tales like that? You're a pagan, so what do you think?
I fail to see the relation.
Yeah. I made one where there was none, probably. But, I mean, tell us what you
now,
think.
Now, is he a pagan or an atheist?
He's a patheist. I don't know.
I'm a pagan. I'm a pagan. I like that word.
He's a patheist.
Atheist.
So what's your take? Oh, I want to hear this from you, right from the lizard's mouth. I don't even know what that means.
My take on everything is it's a lie until you prove it's true, and it's true until you prove it's a lie.
All right. That's fair.
Are you running for office?
Yeah, no. It's very political. Well, I...
Which position are you running for?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm running for Emperor of Utah. I heard there's very little competition there.
Yeah, but most people
are like Scott, you know.
Hey, go ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
But I think you have to get a membership to smoke there or something weird like that.
No, it's never that bad. I will say this though. This is totally off topic, but this is pretty funny. They were talking the other day, okay, Mitt Romney, who's from Utah, who's running for president, and actually he's doing pretty good in the polls, running on the Republican ticket, and a lot of people here are real excited about it because, you know, homeboy makes good, whatever. He's a really nice guy, did amazing things with the Olympics when we were having issues. He's a pretty straight-up dude and would probably make a decent president. The point is that everybody always makes fun of people from Utah or Mormons in general as having multiple wives. Of all the candidates, every candidate that's running for president has had, with the exception of Hillary, because she's not a dude, but every male candidate...
She could be.
She might be. Speaking of Bigfoot. But anyway, She or every all the male candidates have all had more than one wife, not at the same time, but they've all been married multiple times. So they've actually been there. Every all the other candidates have had more wives, and he's just had one. So I just think it's interesting.
That's nice.
That's a total offshoot.
This is totally fascinating, Scott. Please, tell us more.
No, instead, I'm not going to.
And what do I think about Bigfoot, Brian?
Yes, Brian. I was about to get to you. What do you think? What do you think, Brian?
Well, I am Southern Baptist.
Yeah,
What does religion have to do with anything?
I believe. Well, you had to say yours, so I guess I'd say mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
He said mine.
I believe that since Mr. Spock said it was so, I'm gonna go with yes.
Did Mr. Spock on what was that show called?
In Search of.
In Search of.
In Search of.
That's all the proof I need. Mr. Spock said it was so. Therefore. Yeah. Leonard Nimoy.
I'm still having a hard time finding the connection.
That actually gives me a question. here
All right.
For Mr. Derek. Derek, as a skeptic, is there somebody you would believe blindly? Like, you know, some person that would go and say, hey, Derek, the sky is green today. And you're going to go, yeah, okay, it's green.
It's green, yeah.
I mean, is there anybody that you as a skeptic would believe blindly?
I don't think so. I would look out the window.
So you're a real jerk then. Yeah. So I said, hey, this guy's green. Let me see that.
I have even a better question than that then. The question I can't get out of my mind is, what do Southern Baptists have to do with Leonard Nimoy?
I don't know.
But anyway, what I was going to ask you, Derek, is this. There's a lot, you know, people will say, we didn't walk on the moon. That was a big fake thing, and I know that's one of the more popular ones. But many would argue that, no, there's proof that we walked on the moon, while a whole other group of people would argue, no, there's proof we didn't walk on the moon. So who has it right, and how do you tell when it's that heated of a thing and it's that hard to prove?
We can't actually prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough out there. We've actually had Phil Plait on our show.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, if you listen to that show, she pretty much lays it out for you. And actually, it's a common thing. This actually died for a long time, this myth about we didn't walk on the moon. It was like a joke for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was it kind of like went away until a couple – actually, it was about 2002. Fox, the network, they
love
put
them.
Out that
– Now, there's
that,
some big skeptics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they put out that movie, that not TV movie, but it was like a documentary thing on their channel about
– Yeah.
Did we go to the moon?
Yeah.
And they had all these weird things and made it like, oh, they give you enough information to make you doubt it. But there's a lot of things in that thing that are just so wrong that you would never doubt that we went if you actually knew all the facts. But they didn't really give you all of them. And I can't really get into it completely without taking like a couple hours of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like three shows in a row. We'd have to do sequels and stuff. It'd be crazy.
But there's we have every single episode of our show on our website on the listen to past shows. Going back, I think it's our first show where we interviewed Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer. And you can actually find that episode. You can listen to it. He actually talks about all the things that people got wrong.
Yeah.
About that.
About that one issue, right.
Yeah. And actually, we went to TAM, the Amazing Meeting, which is a big skeptics convention they do every year in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we went to that this past year, and Phil Plait actually did his lecture on that topic. And that was amazing just to see him do it. We already knew Phil. Me and Swoopy have become really good friends with Phil. And actually, he's going to be on our next episode that comes out.
Yeah, he's always a good listen. Always a good listen.
Yeah, I think he's on our episode that comes out tomorrow, because there's a new episode comes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And
we'll definitely check it out.
He's on that one. We actually did some wrap up from TAM, and because we just finally got rid of all the audio we had from TAM, because we interviewed with many people.
Sure.
And they called the Amazing TAM. You know, is it the initials for it? Yeah. The Amazing Meeting.
The Amazing Meeting.
Well, let me tell you. That name is not wrong. Yeah. It is amazing to go to, but it's very expensive.
But can you imagine how difficult it must be to get your friends and settle, you know, to make a trip over there, because they're all skeptics? So it's going to be, hey, are you going to go to the convention? Oh, yeah.
Are you? Really, I don't believe there is a convention.
Yeah, really.
Prove to me there's a convention.
I don't think you're going.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And you're going to have to prove it to me. I mean, there's a lot of things like that out there. Like, was there really a Holocaust? And many argue that there wasn't. But then there's tons of evidence, both forensic and otherwise. It's just kind of gets a little weird how it seems like a true skeptic is somebody who doesn't really have an agenda on either side ever. It's about as centrist as you get. It's like
exactly.
Yeah, that thing you have a belief that things are almost always more complicated than they seem on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's always worth delving into to really get the truth. And the truth is, it turns out I would probably consider myself a skeptic, cuz that's pretty much how I look at most things.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Can you
always question?
Yeah. Can you knight me or something?
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
The funny thing is if anybody out there is like very into the idea of what Scott actually just said, I recommend going and buying this one book by this lady called Jennifer Michael Hecht. We actually had her on our show back a couple of years ago.
Yep.
She's on our website. You can find her.
I remember that page. One as well. That was a good one.
Yeah. And that book is really good. It's called Doubt. And it's funny to read that. Not funny, but it's great to read that because she goes all the way back to written history, like the very beginning. And actually, all the stuff in that book is true because like there's writings all the way back there with the people that actually doubted everything, like religion and God and people and everything.
Sure.
And if you read that book, what Scott actually just said, about what he believes is very much like the things in that book. And most of the people that are actually skeptics, there's no like reason to knight people or things, just be that way.
Yes.
So shut up, Scott.
Yeah, I'll shut up now.
I'm a little disappointed.
Shut up, Scott.
Be that
way.
I have an intelligent question.
Oh my gosh, hold on. Wait, am I recording this? Oh yeah, we are. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But I mean, if you were a true skeptic, Scott, you would not believe my question was intelligent.
That's true.
So I asked it.
Yeah. Prove it.
So the dilemma would be, should you record it or not?
How do you know I'm recording? You have no proof. All you have is my face on this camera.
Oh, no.
Let's not go down this route.
Yeah, it'll get really ugly. Anyway, so go ahead. Ask your question that will supposedly be intelligent.
Okay, Mr. Derek.
Okay.
What is your opinion, your take, or your position on, what would you call them? On conspiracy theorists? People that basically choose, not technically to doubt everything, but to doubt everything that is a part of mass media and to always build some sort of conspiracy theory around.
That is a great question. I will now admit that was a very intelligible question. Oh, I meant intelligent.
Don't you wish you had recorded it?
intelligent. Yeah, so what do you think there, Derek?
Well, you know what? That's actually a very good way to think. I could do the dorky, well, those people can go be crazy, but they can be crazy, but it's not a bad way to think. It's not a bad thing to doubt like what the government tells you. It's not a bad thing to do that, but it's when people take it too far, like the 9/11 people.
Yeah,
like the
that's insane.
There's a line where some people take it so far that even when the proof is laid out, they deny it. Like Scott mentioned about the Holocaust, there's a lot of people that say, "Well, prove it to me." Well, we have. The history has proven that, but they just deny the evidence. And there's a difference between people that believe in conspiracies because they don't see the proof because there isn't any, because there's some things that don't have any, but there's other things that there's proof, but they're making up a reason why there might be something more to it.
Yeah. Well, see, then we've all learned something from Star Wars once again, and I can't remember what it is. What was I going to say? That is why you fail. I can't remember, dude. But there was something good there. There was something good. I can't remember it. All right.
Yoda would so be all over you right now.
Yeah. Scott is a dumbass. He is. All right, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, it's already, we're well past the halfway mark, but that's okay. Maybe a long show, that's fine. We're all right with that. We're good with that. When we come back, we'll talk some more. This time, a little more light stuff. We're going to talk about some nerdy items. You know, the stuff you guys are used to right here on the Extra Life Radio Show. Right after Rico's Reviews, who is currently in Taiwan, hopefully not dabbling in the oldest profession. Just kidding. I've been there. I've just seen some things. Anyway, so when we come back, we'll talk more. And thanks a lot, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hello again, Extra Life listeners. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with another review for you. This week, I'm going to talk about one of my all-time favorite shows, which is The X-Files, which aired on the Fox network from 1993 to 2002. Lasted for 9 seasons. A very long-running drama for the Fox network. Most people know about this show. It starred 2 FBI agents. David Duchovny played Fox Mulder, and Gillian Anderson played Agent Dana Scully. They basically investigated a lot of kind of otherworldly and supernatural kinds of occurrences, crimes, and things like that. There was an ongoing storyline about a government conspiracy trying to cover up the existence of extraterrestrials, which Fox Mulder was on a crusade for because of his sister's disappearance many years ago. This show really had a lot of very interesting characters, introduced a group of characters called the Lone Gunman, amongst others, the cigarette-smoking man, a lot of very classic characters I think that will go down for a long time in history as some great TV characters. Anyway, The X-Files, all 9 seasons out on DVD. If you've never seen this show, it's also airing on the Sci-Fi Channel pretty regularly. So check out The X-Files, a cool show, lots of great stuff in it. This is Rico signing off for this week.
Fascinating.
Hey, everybody. I like cheesy old-time radio just as much as the next guy. So what did I find on youbynow.com today? The Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle. The Adventures of the Blue Beetle. Anyway, if you've not seen it, you need to go check this out. It's pretty cool. And if you're a fan of the old radio show, it's just a whole lot of fun to have one of these figures in your life. It's called The First Appearance of Blue Beetle. You'll actually find it on the front page. This thing's only $11.99 and 10% off that if you use Extra Life as your code. So go check it out. Do a search for Blue Beetle. This is from DC Direct, and it needs to be in your collection. Thanks, you by now. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thanks, Rico. He always does a nice job, so we appreciate him. And hopefully he's having a good time in Taiwan. And I was kidding about the prostitution crack.
I actually was in China about...
Prostitution crap. Yeah, or crack. You were in China? What were you doing there?
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe? Yeah.
For work?
Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny? Me and my wife were waking up one weekend, and my dad called in the morning, like really early. I was like, oh God, what happened? And like, he's no, get Susan on the phone. I was like, okay. I did. She's like, okay. He's like, okay, you guys are coming to China with us. What? Yeah, you're coming. we are. Yes.
Oh, no, no way.
He's like, really? He's like, nice why? He's like, why? It's like, because it's cheap. Oh, it's China. It can't
it's
be cheap.
Cheap.
Yeah,
it's cheap. And he's like, yes. I was like, why? He's SARS.
Yeah. Oh, okay. SARS. Yeah, that's right.
Funny. He's like, nobody wants to go.
Flu?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, nobody wanted to go. Okay. So here, just it's like me and my wife for like 14 days went to China. All of our hotel was paid for.
The and got plane, SARS.
The plane tickets were paid for. All that for $2,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah.
And my dad, you know, my mom, they came. And then my dad invited, like, all the members of the family, his family, that he hasn't talked to for, like, a long time. They had a family split a long time ago. But yeah. They came together, like, a few months before we went to China. And
they all came to China and ate dog tongue.
But it was funny. Because, like, here we went to China, and, like, it's like the entire Colenduno clan was in China.
Yeah.
And, but it was funny because, like, China, of all things.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wouldn't, you know, the thing is, without my dad just saying, you're coming, you know, no matter what, you're coming, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone, but we had a blast. And, you know, when we went, I knew that China was getting a lot more Western, but I was not prepared for going then because it was so amazing to me. We got off the plane, we had to find our luggage, all that crap, and then we went downstairs, and then the people from our tour group, you know, we bought a package tour thing, and they are all there with their signs, and of course the sign for us was there. We all grouped around with all the people we've never met before, and we got on the bus, and here we are in China. You know, the China airport was pretty amazing in itself because it looked like America, and which is a shock. It was like I thought it was going to be a lot more, you know, different, but it wasn't.
The big cities are very westernized. It's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like we get in the bus, and we're in the bus in China. You know, the signs was really weird because all the signs were Chinese and American, like in English as well. So it's like we could read everything. I was not prepared for that either. I was like, okay. Yeah. I've been to Europe, and it's common in some places in Europe, but not everywhere.
Did you see any kind of ding-pong type people, like loud English-speaking Chinese guys? Maybe not.
Actually, now and then.
Oh, good.
But we're in the bus. You know, we just got off the plane, got our luggage. We waited for everybody else to gather around. We got on the bus, all these people we've never known. And a lot of people were from everywhere, like Australia and England and, you know, all these places. And in the bus, looking around, because I just never been to Beijing, that's where we went.
Sure.
And I'm looking around. It's like, okay, this is not right. Because we're in the bus, and I'm looking out the window. Look, a JCPenney's. Look, a Walmart. A Walmart. That's what the fuck? Funny. And then it's like, okay, oh, wait a minute. A mall. Look, a Ford dealership. People are driving SUVs. This is not right. And it's like all Holiday Inn and like a Best Western. What the hell?
That is weird. And what do they call it? Welcome to Best Western. We have dead dog you can eat for breakfast. Continental free breakfast.
Anyway. Yeah, but it was so funny. It was like, it felt like America. It was like, what the hell's going on? And it's like there's subtle differences, but not enough for me. It's like I thought it was going to be a lot different. And it's like there's some things that were a lot different. But, you know, your brain actually always grasps the things that are common to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which is something I already knew. So I was sitting there going, OK, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But no, because like we actually drove by a sign that I took a double take because they was a sign for like buying houses like we see here in America, you know, for like the suburbs and things. And like, here's a sign, looks exactly like signs I see here for like new housing developments. It looks exactly the same. It's like, and they even
where do you think we get those signs? they're made in China.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then it all makes sense.
Yeah,
huh?
Now it all comes together. I get it.
And it's like, here's the sign, and like they're showing pictures of the houses that look like my house here in Georgia.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, you're looking around. It's like people are buying houses like mine with big yards, and like, like there's signs for buying Ford Explorers or like.
Dude, that's why we're screwed. That's why we're screwed. Let me tell you, in the next decade, China takes over everything. We're just some podunk poop nation that's like under their freaking big thumb regime. So we'll see.
Well, you paid attention to Firefly.
Yeah, Serenity, dude. Yep. Ni hao ma, shay shay, whatever else they say. Well, anyway, good times. That's awesome. Sounds like a fun trip. Let's jump to some nerdy stuff. Let's play the
news
thing.
Wait a minute. I got a big question.
Go ahead. I hate your big questions. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. No, I like them.
This is
actually
a very important question. It's very relevant to the podcast.
All right.
Mr. Derek, I need to know, you know, we're all going to DragonCon this year, and I need to know, will I be seeing Dean Cain?
Oh, yes. Dean Cain.
Will he be there?
Yeah, well, is Dean Cain going to be a special guest of the show? Is what he's.
I don't know.
And if not, why not? I mean, what is the point of having a convention if you don't have Dean Cain in it?
You know, I can't.
I agree.
I could put up the website and see, but I wouldn't be surprising if he was coming. I haven't looked actually.
Yeah, well, maybe you should. You see, you've got some pull there. Maybe you should see if you can get him swung in there, because that would be pretty awesome.
It's too late now.
Oh, well, see, yeah,
all this stuff like in DragonCon, if you're not already all set up by like March, April,
then you're screwed.
It's too late. I mean,
you're probably screwed. Well, that's cool. Well, let's play this while we jump into some news items. We haven't played this in a while.
ELR News.
Welcome back to the news, everybody. I got to tell you, today's news is brought to you by... Hold on.
Derek.
I had it up. Oh, we'll say it's by you, yeah. No, Windman, sorry. Windman is the sponsor of today's Dinglehopper because he has contributed money for me to buy some comics that I'm going to review on the show. So he wins this week's sponsorship prize, whatever that means. He wins nothing but my greatest respect. A couple of quick things I wanted to cover, nothing major before we get to our crappy movie. Battlestar Galactica might get another season after all. Brian, you saw this, but not huge news. We'll have to wait and see. But what's more interesting is it looks like the Bionic Woman will probably be picked up by NBC. Oh, yeah, baby.
The Bionic Woman.
Speaking of BSG, it's got Katie Sackhoff in it.
Yep.
I kind of have the hots for her.
And actually, I think some of the production team for Bionic Woman is actually part of the same team for BSG.
Yeah, the co-producer of BSG, what's his name? Or Zippy or Slappy. I can't remember his name.
No. Oh, gosh, I forget now.
Anyway, the guy, not Ron Moore, but the other dude. He's the chief or the executive producer. So definitely some love coming from the BSG team there. That'll be cool. And I would actually watch that. Some of those screens look cool with like those translucent bionic legs. That looks great. I think. Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Yeah. I don't know who that chick is though, Brian. Who is that lady?
I don't know her.
Not Starbuck, but the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Not Katie, but the other girl.
Cause Katie plays an early model, right?
Yeah, she plays the first Bionic Woman, which isn't going to be what the story is around. I'm assuming that they're going to turn into some type of a nemesis, you know.
Oh, that'd be cool, dude.
Kind of like a rogue kind of Bionic girl.
Yeah, like Data's brother, Rom, or whatever his name was. That kind of idea. Yeah, I like that idea. I'm fine with it. Also, weird news. An Obsidian, maybe you can explain to me what's wrong with our country when I tell you this.
Please.
The Gears of War team they've announced they may be making a golf spinoff for the Gears of War game. What is wrong with our people?
I know why.
What's why? What's the thinking there?
Because have you ever played the Tiger Woods golf with like an Xbox or anything?
Yeah.
Those are a blast. And you know, it's funny. My father, who were usually never used to be into video games, I showed him the you know, Tiger Woods on my old version of the Xbox a long time ago.
Yeah.
My dad went out and bought one because of that. And and it's like stuff like I know so many people I showed that game to and went off and bought Xboxes just to play that game.
Yeah, but Gears of War seems like such a weird connection. It's like golf. Because, I mean, these guys are saving the world from alien scum and they're going to stop to play a golf. Hey, Rom, how about a hole-in-one on this one? You're 10 over par. I mean, I just can't see it.
Well, you've got to get some R&R eventually.
Think about it in the terms of like what they call in like the marketing world, which is like geeks speak for marketing people, but they call it the halo effect. Like this is exactly what Apple did with the iPod. They said, okay, this thing, everybody wants an MP3 player that's good. So they made one. They all wanted one. And then that creeps out to other Apple products. People say, well, I love my iPod. I might like this Mac Mini, or this
notebook or whatever. Sure,
exactly. Yeah. So think about it the same way. Say, we'll make this golf game because families and mothers and sisters and all these families they love it, right?
But
you know, it's not crazy. And then they go, well, that's golf. I can play that.
Yeah.
And they'll do it. Yeah. They don't even know who the characters are.
Yeah,
who's this guy? They've never seen that guy like shoot up a million aliens. They've never seen that.
But you know he's gonna it's gonna have like exploding balls, and they're gonna take cover behind the green.
Oh, exploding balls, excellent.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
But you know that won't matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the people will see Gears of War somewhere else. And they'll say, well, I like that golf game. Let me try it.
I'll try this.
And that Mr. Durant might have given you a good explanation, but I have the truth.
What's the truth? Oh.
Okay. See, here's how it goes. Okay, you see, Mr. Durant explained a part of it, but he was hiding the whole truth. He said, he spoke about people, older people, they like golf. Now, the thing is, Scott, young people today, they're not going to be young forever. I mean, you probably know a lot about this, you being so old and all.
Yeah.
And
And, you know, young people, they're not going to be young forever. No. So the idea is they put out this Gears of War game with golf so young people will give it a try. Now, the thing is, young people, you know, golf sucks. So they're gonna try it out anyway. I mean, they're going to try it out anyway.
Yeah. Is this one of those he's defending people moments?
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't offend people. That's Scott's job.
He's so full of it.
So they're going to try out the game, and they're not going to like it right now. Now, here's the thing. Here's the smart move. About 40, 60 years from now, when those young people are old, they're going to look back, and they're going to go, oh, you know what? I remember that golf game. You know, that looks kind of good right now.
That Gears of Golf. Yeah, you're probably right.
Gears of Golf.
And then they're going to play it. So what they're doing is actually a very smart move. They are they're cultivating, seeding public. They're seeding these people for about 60 years in the future.
Look at you, dude, predicting it like it's true. It's amazing. I'm a skeptic, though. Let's play this Spanish version of Spider-Man before our next story. This isn't really a story, but it's something I had to read. This is cool. Check it out. Freaking terrible. Anyway, that's
that is terrible. That's
was that real?
Yeah, it was real. The Spanish version of the 70s animated series of Spider-Man, that was the theme for the Spanish version.
It almost didn't even sound like it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I remember the song to the animated series of Spider-Man here in Spanish.
Yeah.
But the one from the 90s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the good one.
How would you know? You weren't here.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't there. That's true. 10 things we learned from Spider-Man 3. I'm just going to tear through these. Warning, spoilers ahead. So if anyone is concerned about spoilers, then...
Oh, use the alert thing. Use the alert thing.
I am. Here it is.
Warning, spoiler alert. Warning, spoiler alert. Warning, spoiler alert.
Okay, there's the...
Dude, that is so lame.
It's pretty lame. That's okay. Warning, spoiler alert, moving forward. Number one, emos are a product of alien symbiosis. If you find... Sorry. If you find yourself running from the law, no problem. Just hop over the gate that says danger, particle physics experiment in progress, yeah, and you're in the clear.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Three, if your girlfriend is hanging from the roof in a demolished skyscraper, never fear. Nonchalantly
this one is the best.
Yeah, take some pictures and introduce yourself to her father, who also doesn't seem to give a crap. That's a pretty good one.
That did feel weird during the movie. Yeah. It was a little odd.
That was pretty much the most forced part of the movie. Like, by the way, you know, I'm dating your daughter, and I'm taking pictures of her. Yeah, about to die.
That was goofy. Number four, flipping pancakes and listening to vintage dance songs will only lead to adultery. Interesting.
Yeah.
Flipping,
omelets, too.
Flipping pancakes. Pancakes. Yeah, they weren't pancakes.
It was omelets, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Now I can't even take this list seriously.
Pancake,
I'm skeptical.
Omelet?
black is the new red and alien goo is the new cotton. Yeah, it's stupid. Number six, if you ever find yourself battling a giant sand person, I like that. Because I picture Star Wars like a big one of those guys with sticks. Anyway, if you find yourself battling a giant sand person and a jagged tooth photographer alongside your best friend who just tried to kill you, be sure that you and him exchange witty banter at every opportunity. Quote, I'm a little busy over here, buddy. Quote, I'd love to help you, but I've got my hands full, buddy, and so on. I agree with that.
That's pretty typical of comic books, period, though.
They do that a lot. They have full-on conversations while they're beating the schmear out of each other. It's so stupid.
I love it. I personally love it when they're jumping from building to building and they start reflecting upon their lot.
Start talking about stuff in their personal life.
Now, I didn't see the movie. It doesn't matter. Matter to me if you spoil it, because it'll be a long time before I can see it.
Yeah.
But just because I don't have time. Yeah. What happened to, like... Where did this movie take place this time?
Where did it take place? Or when?
Yeah.
It would be New York. New York, as always. They always do it in New
York. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So nobody around there had like either a fire hydrant or a hose?
No. Oh,
well. I mean,
since you asked,
those are illegal in New York. Yeah. Didn't you know?
They didn't want to have it. They want to reproduce the Chicago fire of 17, whatever it was, or I don't know when the date was. But
I'm just saying. I mean,
it's a good point.
Just saying.
See, you're skeptical, and I like that. I like that.
Well,
about
I would just. I mean, I would just grab a fire hose and made mud.
Now listen, though. Here is my favorite. Well, actually, they do a bit of that in the movie. I don't want to give anything away, but you'll see that and go, I thought of that.
Well, you see?
Yeah, see?
I'd make,
smart guys.
I'd make an awesome Spider-Man.
I would make an excellent Spider-Man. Actually, anybody would.
I would have taken care of him like in the second scene of the movie.
Yeah, he'd be out of there. I hate Tobey Maguire. I just want to throw that out there.
Hey.
You know, yeah. I hated the idea of him before I even saw the first movie.
Yeah.
But he did such a good job. I was like, I can't hate him, but I just don't like him
still.
Yeah,
that's still me. I'm okay with him as Peter Parker. I just don't like that actor. Yeah. He's just a turd.
Well, I thought he was awesome in Pleasantville, though.
Yeah, that was good.
It was awesome.
That movie had my the Shoveler, one of my favorite actors. Well, I can't think of his name. Mr. Lundegaard.
Dean Cain.
The heck do you mean? The
Dean
heck
Cain.
Do you mean? No, no, no.
Your favorite actor is not
Dean
Cain?
No, he's one of my favorite actors. Why can't I think of his name? Look in the chat room. These people will help us. William H. Macy. Thank you. Jeez.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, William H. Macy.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dohan and everybody else.
You know,
Randy
something
Deluxe.
That people have been saying a lot, and I was thinking during the movie, I mean, the guy that did Venom, what is his name again?
Topher Grace.
Topher. Yeah, I mean, didn't anybody else, any other of you guys think, you know, he would have made a much better Spider-Man.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
He would have made a great Peter Parker. And when you see it, Derek, you'll say the same.
But, you know, with him just saying that, actually, that sounds like it should be, though.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Because I think, if I remember right, I mean, it's a long time ago since I read the freaking comments, but, you know, wasn't, like, Venom supposed to be like, oh, he's really cool. Why isn't he Spider-Man?
Yeah, exactly. You know? A lot of people, that's true. And it only made it worse in the movie because he was, not that he's a better actor or anything. I just think he had more of a Peter Parker thing going on. Whereas
besides, Tobey Maguire is having a sort of pudgy look now.
Yeah, and he doesn't. When he cries, he looks like he's smiling. When he's smiling, it looks like he's pooing. I just don't trust the guy.
Anyway, all comes back to the poo.
It always does, doesn't it? My favorite one here. If you want to kill someone, this is number 7. If you want to kill someone real bad, then go to a church, pray, and maybe, just maybe, if you're lucky, God will provide you with an alien suit made of pure evil. That's awesome.
Are you sure this is not a Scientology movie?
No, it sounds like it, though, doesn't it?
That's very offensive to some people, but, you know, I had to say
it.
Most of them are Scientologists.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We don't have many, I don't think.
Offending? Yeah. I thought offending Scientologists was okay.
A sport? Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was allowed.
It's only okay because they're such a tiny minority. If they were bigger, then it would somebody would be offended somewhere.
You wouldn't believe that by looking at the movies.
You never know. Those guys.
I mean, it's like every other actor is. That's what they are.
Those guys can bite my cheese. That's I'm saying it right now. It's coming right out and saying it. Number it's 8. Like, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You hear that, say. Mr. Cruz? You can bite Scott Johnson's cheese.
Okay, so
I mixed up. So what?
I'm just very skeptical of people who believe in a quote-unquote religion written by a guy who's a bad science fiction writer.
Yeah, he's not a good writer in the first place, dude.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the best thing he ever did was one of the worst movies I ever saw. It was that freaking Battlefield Earth thing or whatever it was.
Exactly.
That movie is so awesome because it's so bad.
But you know, the
book, have a great time watching it.
The book wasn't much better.
No, the book sucked.
Yeah.
The book sucked.
Yeah, but you see, that's the difference between a bad book and a bad movie. You can actually have fun watching a bad movie because you can make fun of it. But
true.
If you're reading a bad book, there's no way you're going to have
fun. So hold on. Was Forrest Whitaker, like, did he lose a bet? Well, how come he ended up in that piece of crap? That's what I want
money.
To know.
Money. Money.
I wondered if maybe he was a Scientologist by some...
I suppose he's had his ups and downs. I mean, I suppose he looks to the past and he says, that was a rough time in life.
And, yeah, and Species.
You know, I put it behind me.
Yeah, doing Species was paying the bills, dude. I'm telling you.
Well, see, the problem I have... The thing is, not I have, but I mean, he's probably got problems, but Forrest Whitaker is such a great actor, but who the hell is his agent? Because they never get him really good roles. Now and then he gets great something. You get something great, and it's like, why aren't you in better movies? But like now and then, you're like, why did you do this?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great segue to number 8. This is also one of my favorites. Sufferers of amnesia just can't help smiling ridiculously and eating ice cream. He said, life is good when you can't remember anything. That's pretty funny.
Oh, God. You know, it's funny you say that because when I first woke up from my coma, there's a lot of things I couldn't remember anything.
Were you like smiling all the time and eating ice cream, though?
Well, according to like my boss who came there like the first day I woke up and got, you know, conscious, and like was able to do anything, he reminds me all the time. He's like, you know, the first time you were like doing anything when you like came back, you were like eating pie and cursing like a sailor.
Sweet.
Like I was like, really? He's like, yeah, you really had it, the most foul mouth ever, and you were eating pie all the time.
This effing, I was like, pie. Wow, you just, pie.
You know, you just sound like the most awesome person ever right there. I mean, eating pie, like, cursing like a sailor. I mean, that's definitely the way to be.
That's funny. Like, and he tells me, you know, I was like, I tell him all the time. I was like, dude, does that make, really? He's like, yeah. Like, but you say all the time, you're like, I'm great. He's like, yeah. I was like, but does that mean you like it when I'm like cursing like a sailor? He's like, well, that's normal for you.
That's awesome.
I was like, really? He's like, awesome. He says, you know, but you don't do that anymore. I was like, well, yeah. He's like, you used to do it all the time. Did I? He's like, yes. Oh, I was like, really? Like, I don't know why. But yeah, my Swoopy always does research on people who have had strokes and like major brain changes.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, it's a pretty common thing for people like who've had like massive strokes and have had to have all these major changes of your life and things.
Yeah.
They've done studies. Like, people have had strokes or gone through major events like that. They change a lot in that respect. They become more calm, or they're nicer, or they think so much different about things. Or
sure.
She's like, it's not uncommon for people that have had a stroke like I did when they finally come back around to like the real world, which is I consider where I am now.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's pretty common for people like to change things like that. Like, I used to always curse all the time, but that was a product of where I lived. I mean, I grew up around my father and my mom. They're pretty crass people, but they're not in a bad way.
Of course
actually.
Not. Just, of course not.
Well, I mean, because they grew up in New Jersey, so.
Yeah, well,
watch The Sopranos. That's my family.
Yes,
and it's like,
stay out of that place is all I'm saying. Oh my gosh, look at the time. We're gonna have to end this show. My gosh. Oh, let me rip through the last two. 9. Bad boys eat cookies, drink milk, and mimic their lectures down the phone in a hilarious manner. Is your girlfriend feeling down? No problem. Make her feel better by passionately upside down kissing some really hot chick in the front of her. That, folks, will finish an Extra Life Radio episode. This is probably the longest we've gone with the show proper. I mean, we sometimes go this long with calls, but not today. We're going to have to skip Crappy Movie of the Week this week, but we will do it next week, so don't worry. Don't feel bad. I want to thank everybody for being here. Derek, most of all. So big thanks to Derek. Thanks to O. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. People like Guest 963 and BioMonkey and Alter Ego and Sleepwalker and Guest 027 and Lowry and Matic and lots of good people. Old Man Franks. Darn it. Anyway, thanks everybody for being here. This has been Extra Life Radio. If you'd like to be part of the show and be part of the calls you're about to hear in a minute, you can do that by calling 206-203-CRAP. If you want to call us, that's the one to use. If you want to email us, that number or that email is extraliferadio@gmail.com. For everything else, visit Extra Life. Visit Extra Life Radio. Duh. What am I trying to say? Visit myextralife.com. That's where you'll find the message boards, the blog, and everything else that matters, including the comic, which I got to stay up and do one for tonight. Maybe. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. We'll see. So go check it out. Have a good time. And we'll see everybody next week for show number 138.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
This is DJ Dorkface, and I'm here on the South Mountain with my finger up my butt.
Ha ha ha. Don't make me come down there.
I do hate when Obsidian gets all wordy and stuff.
Holy moly! Moon Knight!
And mine says ...#XX. And then two characters I've never seen before. I know I mention it every week, but it's worth doing it again. Bring it. Yeah. It's like, bring it, because I'm tired of all your BS, you freaking pieces of... you bastards.
Right. How do I adjust this picture thingy again?
Yeah, Webster's Michael hot. Jackson. Daffy Duck shot himself in the head a couple of times.
Made it!
Because that bomb that blew half his face off sure gave a nice clean scar. Yeah. It was a little rushed and it didn't go into anything with anybody.
When you thought Dolph Lundgren was hot?
No.
Made it!
I watched all these stupid names. Where's my reward? Everything was solved with synthesizers during the 80s. So.
Except maybe Silver Surfer with his little wiener package. I've had the Baja Blast all weekend.
Oh no, I'm always at least 3 months behind everybody else.
Which means they shorted me a chalupa.
Hello, this is Derek from Washington. I just wanted to say that I grew up with Beast Wars, the kind of derivative of Transformers. And I was wondering if you thought that was a legitimate show or something like that, because, you know, I'm a little grown up now, and I don't think any of the anime shows on now are legitimate. So I was wondering what your thoughts were, and basically... Optimus Prime versus Optimal Optimus. Who would win? Anyways, bye.
Hey, Scott. I'm a 42-year-old gay man, and I didn't know cherry pie in that song meant that. Ooh, now I can't eat cherry pie without thinking of that. Now I'm going to have to find another favorite pie.
Hey, Scott. I just finished listening to episode 136, and I'll have you know that none of them have the right to make fun of you. I can't remember the specific cartoon, but on a few occasions, there have been scenes where a character will blindfold themselves, light up a cigarette, and then kill themselves. But of course, you know, something always went wrong when they pulled the trigger. But it, you know, the whole, you know, theme was there, and you were right. So you can all tell them, you know, that they can stop it. Peace.
Hey, Scott. I actually was listening to some of the older shows and realized Obsidian doesn't talk about his Wii. Did he ever get that? Did he like it? Or did the guy bail? Or is he still waiting for the 6 months of shipping? Or what? So, if you think about asking, love to hear his opinion on it if he did get it. So, I'm sure he probably loved it. Thanks. Bye.
Hey there, Elon. This is Eric from Los Angeles and soon to be Eric from Phoenix. Actually, on the car ride over there, I was listening to old episodes of ELR. Thank you for saving my sanity, by the way. What's left of it. Anyway, I was listening to the episode where you're talking about movie endings. And I was reminded of an incident that occurred by an acquaintance of mine. Apparently drove past on the day Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back came out. He drove by a theater. The line was stretching like almost around the block. A guy, one of my friends, leans out the window and shouts, "Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father!" Yeah, talk about if Luke could kill. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work.
Scott, you slam jam.
Scott? Old Man Frank? It's me, Taylor West, voice of Tennessee Taylor. I think that it's about time that we did us a panel show. That we need to have O and Brian come up with some topics and have them pitch questions to Ding Pong, Old Man Franks, and good old Tennessee Taylor. Maybe even Food Vic if he's up for it. And so you can just see what the fans think. I think the fans would enjoy it. They seem to like our call-ins, and of course Ding Pong when he makes an appearance on the show. So there's an idea I thought I would pitch. I've already got Old Man Franks to agree. He says he'd be, you know, all for it. Talk to him in the chat rooms during the recording of the show there. But there's the idea, and there's any other characters you think would be good to invite, then hey, I think it'd be a cool idea. We could talk about movies that have been done, movies that are coming up, what we're excited about, all kinds of stuff. Just a chance for some people to geek out and, you know, do a little bit of a kind of weird radio role play at the same time. So that's my idea, and you can just let me know what you think of it. I'll be sending an email, too, just so that it's there in hard copy form. So anyway, I will be in touch. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Seamus. I'm actually a couple of blocks away from Times Square right now. I'm calling in to Extra Life Radio because I thought it was a good idea at the time. I'm actually on a school field trip, and we're waiting for some people to get out of a plane, so.
Yep. Okay, bye. Oh, by the way, I learned something from New York. Their motto is, go F yourself. Bye.
Hello, Scott. This is Milo Strings. I've only ever listened to your show once. It was the one where you covered Spider-Man 3, and I absolutely loved it. I heard the number. I was actually in the chat room for the beginning of that show. I was there for about half an hour before it started. Yeah, I'm just basically calling to see if I can get on the show. It's a tail bit of the end. And I love you. I love you, Scott. I love you. Good boy.
Get it on with Shakira.
I like the human race the way it is. I'm a person, not a collection of hunks of meat.